Solomon built him an house. Chapter 81. The dull sound of the axe echoes through the forest of Lebanon. Tree after tree is chopped down. What are they going to do with all those trees? You know that the hills of Lebanon are not situated in the land of Israel. Lebanon belongs to Hiram, the king of Tyre, whose kingdom lies to the north of Israel. Many cedar trees grow on the Lebanon, isn't that so? Wasn't David's palace built of those cedars? After the death of David, Hiram sent his wishes for success to the new king of Israel. Immediately, Solomon asked him for cedar wood to build the house of the Lord, the temple. Hiram thereupon promised Solomon that he could have as much cedar wood as he needed. In exchange, Solomon would give Hiram wheat and oil. Thus Solomon and Hiram were good friends. Now Solomon's servants are busy chopping down trees. Not one or two, but 10,000 men work day after day in the forests of Lebanon. Each month, one group takes the place of another. The felled trees are brought over the sea to the land of Canaan. Far from Jerusalem, on the mountains of Judah, and there is a multitude of people. Many thousands of men are busy working. Large stones are being cut out of those mountains. This is a great undertaking because the men have no machines. Everything must be done by hand. They work many days to be able to loosen one stone from the mountain. For that reason, Solomon has 80,000 stone cutters at work. On this mountain, everything is made ready. The stones are cut square and exactly to size. They are enormous stones. They are not like the stones which are used to build our houses. Oh no, you must not think that. They are a great deal larger. Hundreds, yes, perhaps thousands of these large stones are made ready to be moved. But how must they be transported to Jerusalem? The Israelites have no trucks or trains. Everything must be carried. The intelligent Solomon also took care of this. 70,000 sturdy, strong men shall arrange that all those stones and all the cedar wood are brought into Jerusalem. Many people are busy working where at one time the threshing floor of Araunah was, the place where David offered when the angel of destruction stood over the city of Jerusalem with a stretched-out sword. This is where the new temple will be built, and it is on a small hill. From early morning until late at night, the people are working. But lo, it is so quiet. Everything is so still. Here in our country, when we build a house, there is a great deal of activity. The workmen hammer, saw, and nail, thereby making a great deal of noise. This is not the case in Jerusalem. No noise of hammer or any tool is heard. Calmly and quietly, each person does his work. This place is holy, because the house of God shall stand there. There is no place for excitement and uproar here. Neither is it necessary. Everything is made ready outside the city. Whenever anything is brought into Jerusalem, it must fit perfectly. Nothing needs any changing. The workmen are moving heavy stones and laying them on the ground. That is the foundation of the building. Slowly but surely the walls rise higher and higher. Then they bring in the beams. They also fit exactly, for they also are made ready outside of Jerusalem. The temple is much larger than the tabernacle. It also will be divided into two sections, the holy place and the holy of holies. Two large wooden angels, overlaid with gold, with their wings touching one another, are placed in the holy of holies. The Ark of the Covenant will stand under these wings. There was only one candlestick in the holy place in the tabernacle. 10 golden candlesticks are put in the temple by Solomon. In the tabernacle there was one table of showbread, but in the temple there shall be 10 tables of showbread. However, as in the tabernacle there will be only one altar of incense, this is also placed before the veil. The temple becomes exceedingly beautiful. All the cedar boards and beams are overlaid with gold. Besides, beautiful carvings of open flowers and buds are carved in all these boards and beams. It is the palace of Israel's heavenly king. Therefore, it must be beautiful. Isn't the palace of an earthly king beautiful? Solomon builds many small apartments, 3 stories high, around the outside of the temple, against the outside walls and around the entire building. The rooms on the top floor are larger than those underneath. Such a beautiful temple is not to be found among any nation. The tabernacle had one court, but the temple which Solomon is building shall have 2. The inner court is for the priests only, while the outer court is for the people. Solomon makes an enormous altar for burnt offerings in the inner court. It is so high that the priest must climb up to it on steps. A brass washing vessel stood in the tabernacle, but Solomon makes a gigantic brass vat in the temple. This brass vat stands on top of 12 brass oxen, which have their heads to the outside, 3 heads in each direction. Because this brass vat was so large, they called it the Brazen Sea. 2 brass pillars are made at the entrance of the temple. Each pillar is 18 cubits high. Artful network of brass is made on the top of these pillars, and with pomegranates engraved throughout, and these too are of brass. The new temple towers high above all the other buildings in Jerusalem. It is the largest and most beautiful building in the city. This was an enormous piece of work. No wonder it took more than 7 years to build it. At last, everything is finished. You can depend upon this, that the inhabitants of Jerusalem watched the building of the temple with interest. Many times they would stand still to watch, and daily they would talk about it. They are proud of it, and no wonder. There stands the temple now. When the sun shines on the white stones, the entire outside of the temple glitters. But these stones are not seen on the inside of the temple. Inside the temple, everything shines and glitters of gold. If we are standing in the temple, it seems as though it is a temple made of gold. Naturally, when all things are finished, the temple must be dedicated. Solomon sends messengers throughout all Israel. From far and near, the Israelites come to Jerusalem. All the elders, rulers, and leaders of the people hasten to the capital. A pleasant bustle prevails. There is a feast in the city, not an ungodly feast, but a feast to the honor of God. Everyone is glad and cheerful. They clap their hands together with amazement when they see this sparkling building. They gather themselves together in the outer court. A group of priests and Levites approach the temple. They are carrying boards, beams, and curtains. What must they do with these? Isn't the temple finished? Must these boards still be used? Why, no. Those are the boards, beams, and curtains of the old tabernacle, which was made by Moses centuries ago at Sinai, when the Israelites were still in the wilderness, and when the people were just out of Egypt on their way to the promised land. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Those boards and beams are very small in comparison with the present sparkling temple. Ah, Moses only built a tent, but Solomon built a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. Still, the tabernacle is not destroyed. No, Solomon keeps that old sanctuary. It is all put nicely together and saved in one of the many rooms which were built on the outside of the temple. They have taken the tabernacle from Gibeon. In the distance, a second group is approaching. They also carry something. This second group is bringing the Ark of the Covenant. This stood in Jerusalem in a tent which David had made for that purpose. Is the Ark of the Covenant also put nicely away? No, for Solomon did not make a new ark. Everything else is new and larger, but the ark is still the same. Carefully and with holy reverence, the priests walk through the big gold-covered doors into the temple. They first go through the holy place. They lift the heavy, expensive veil and walk into the Holy of Holies. Two large angels stand there, with stretched out wings, and the Ark of the Covenant is placed carefully under these wings. The priests let down the veil and return. Suddenly, a cloud fills the house of the Lord. Not an ordinary cloud, but the glory of the Lord appears. It is the proof that this has the approval of the Lord God of Israel. It is the sign that the Lord is willing to dwell in this house. This cloud completely fills the temple, so that the priests cannot stand to minister and offer. Profound reverence fills the hearts of all, for they feel and observe the presence of God. Solomon also made a high scaffold, a sort of pulpit. The young king climbs on this scaffold. He spreads forth his hands toward heaven and prays. It is breathlessly quiet. Everyone listens with deep respect to the prayer of the king. Yes, many pray with him. Solomon asks the Lord if he would dwell from now on in this house of God. He pleads that the Lord would hear the prayers which are sent up from this temple to God. O, the king knows and also feels that the nation of Israel will sin many times. Then the Lord shall come with his punishments. The enemy will plunder and ravage the land, or terrible sicknesses shall break out, so that thousands shall die, or the harvest shall be a failure, so that famine and want shall prevail in the land. Lord, he humbly prays, if thy people will confess and forsake their sins, if they come to this house and ask thee for salvation, for relief, for deliverance out of their distresses, hear then and forgive the sins of this people. Solemnly and seriously, the words of the king ring through this silent audience. The people are filled with profound emotion. We will not discuss the complete prayer, boys and girls. It is recorded in the Bible, and you can read it for yourself. How do you pray? Irreverently, do you only say a few words, not meaning what you pray, not having your thoughts upon what you say? Alas, that happens so often. But that is not praying. No, then it is a mocking of the living God. Those prayers are not answered. You can be sure of that, for they are not prayers. We pray to a holy and righteous God. O children, we cannot pray as it should be done. Ask often if the Lord will teach you to pray. Solomon also prays at this time, reverently and with sincere earnestness. After his prayer, the first sacrifice is made ready. The wood is laid upon the new and large altar used for burnt offerings. The animal for the offering is killed and laid upon the wood. Then the priests are ready to light the wood. At once, there is a flare of light. Fire comes down from heaven. It is not necessary for the priest to light the wood, for the sacrifice is already burning. This is the sign that God heard the prayer of Solomon. For the Lord himself lights the first sacrifice. By this, the Lord sanctified this house for his worship. This also happened at the time of the dedication of the tabernacle. Remember? Well then, this was the second time. However, not just one offering is brought. Oh no, Solomon offers 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. The Israelites celebrate this feast 14 days. After this, Solomon blessed the people and sent them away. They all return to their own homes. They are glad. They are thankful, because the Lord has blessed them so abundantly. Thankfulness fills their hearts, but they also are ashamed, for they are not worthy of all these blessings. You too receive many blessings from the Lord. Are you also thankful for them? Do you give honor to the Lord for them? Neither are you deserving of all these blessings. We do not deserve one blessing. Never forget that.